Joy within, my hope is in you. Ask Petey. Petey's got about a, I don't know, look like about a pound of candy just put in his pocket. And I said, man, you must be thinking it's a long way. He said, as long as you preach, I got to have something. And so anyhow, he filled his pocket full. So I guess he's expecting a long sermon tonight. But nonetheless, I know it's been a busy day, and I know our choir came at 5, so I'll try my best to get to the point and get you out here at a decent hour. And again, I appreciate you so much being found faithful to the Lord's house on a Sunday night. I don't take that for granted. There's a lot of places you could have been, but you chose to be faithful to the Lord's house. And again, I appreciate your attendance, and I hope that the Lord has already blessed you through the singing, and I hope the Lord will minister and bless your heart through the preaching of His Word. Tonight, if you found your place in Psalm 8, if you would stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, I come prepared to preach out of Psalm 150 this morning, and I thought, well, surely the Lord will let me preach out of Psalm 150 tonight, but that's not what happened. So anyhow, here we are. Psalm 8 is where we're looking, and when I begin to read this, there's a song that we just learned not too long ago, How Excellent Is Thy Name, and that's where this was taken from, out of this particular psalm, Psalm and chapter 8. Now notice in verse number 1, the Bible said this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, I could preach on that tonight with that question about God being mindful towards you and I, but that is not the message. But boy, it's something to ponder and to think about, because God certainly was mindful of us. He proved that on a cross many, many years ago, suffered and bled and died so you and I could go to a place called heaven. They just sang about so all of our sin could be forgiven. You know what that was based upon? It was based upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, He was mindful of me, and He was mindful of you, and every individual that ever lived over 2,000 years ago when He hung between heaven and earth. Oh yes, friend, He was mindful of His sinful creation. Bible goes on to say, in the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Look at verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, saying thank you for the privilege and opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, God, one more time, preach your word. Now, Lord, I confess that I'm nothing. Lord, you are everything. I pray that you'd honor your word tonight. Speak to every heart. There's one lost. I pray that you'd save them by your grace. There's one here just needs some help from another world. I pray that they'd get it tonight. Do what only you can do. Help me to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. And we'll give you thanks, for we ask it all in Jesus' name, for his sake, and all God's people see him. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, we've read this text here, and we could title this certainly, How Excellent Is Thy Name? But I really want to focus in on one word here that we'll find here in just a second in verse number 3, and we'll focus on that. As I shared with you this morning, the Psalms is broken up into 5 divisions, and it's worth repeating so you'll get this. The first 5 books of the Bible, of course, being Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. There's a great parallel in the 5 divisions that are found in the book of Psalms. And then these 5 divisions, at the end of all 5 of these divisions, it ends with a doxology. And a doxology is simply a praise unto God. Sometimes it'll be bless the Lord. And as it is the case in Psalm 150, 13 times in Psalm 150, in the 6 verses, it said, praise ye the Lord. And that's how that psalm and how that division ends, in a praise unto the Lord. Again, sometimes it's bless be the Lord. Sometimes it's praise ye the Lord. But you see, the first division was from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, and in that it corresponds with the book of Genesis. And the main emphasis in those 41 chapters of division number 1, from division chapter 1 to chapter 41, is the subject of man. You'll see that throughout. We talked about and preached a little bit on Psalm 23. It is found in that Genesis division. Then there's a second division that starts in Psalm 42 and runs all the way to Psalm 72. That is the Exodus division. And the main wording in those Psalms is simply the words of deliverance, how Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, a captivity. We see the miracle working power of God working there in Moses' day in Exodus. And we see that in those Psalms from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. And then that Psalm 72 ends in that doxology, blessed be the Lord. Then it ushers in the third division in Psalm 73. From Psalm 73 to Psalm 89, that corresponds to the book of Leviticus. And the main wording in those Psalms is simply the sanctuary or the temple or the tabernacle. And I say thank God for the sanctuary tonight, a place where you and I can still come. New Testament economy. I understand this building's brick. It's more. It's made with human hands. But I thank God it's a special place where you and I can get our batteries recharged. Hey, it's a place where people can get a breath from another world. And I don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what I'm dealing with. But boy, it's something that does something for me to come in here to hear the songs of Zion and get a fresh breath of bread from heaven, some manna that'll give us strength for the journey. But that third division corresponds to the book of Leviticus, and the main emphasis is the sanctuary. And then there's a fourth division from Psalm 73. Did I say 73 already? Yes, Psalm 73 to 89, second division. Psalm 90 to Psalm 106 is the fourth division. That's the Numbers division. That's what corresponds with the book of Numbers. Of course, the first five books being the Pentateuch. But that book of Numbers and the main emphasis in those Psalm, from Psalm 90 to Psalm 106, is wilderness and the desert, those wilderness years. And a lot of those Psalms talk about that. Then you get to the fifth division, which was Psalm 107 to Psalm 150. And do you remember Psalm 107? We sing one of those songs, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." There in verse number 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That's what it said in Psalm 107 in verse number 2. It corresponds to the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth and final division. It runs from Psalm 107 to Psalm 150. The main theme is the Word of God. The longest chapter in our Bible is Psalm 119. And all the way through Psalm 119, the emphasis is on the Word of God, the testimonies, the statutes. All of that is a reference to the Word of God. And all these Psalms pertain, those five divisions speak of the first five books of the Bible with a certain emphasis on all of them. And tonight, Psalm 8, we're back in this Genesis division where the main emphasis is on man throughout. And we read in our text a couple places. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Then look at the last part, the last verse of Psalm 8 in verse 9. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Now there is something about the name of the Lord. By the way, the mighty name of Jesus. You know, you can pretty much say Muhammad, and you can say Joseph Smith, and you can say Buddha, and people really won't get too upset. But there's something about the name of Jesus, because there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, how excellent is His name. And we could preach on that tonight, but what Lord laid on my heart is found in verse number 3. Notice what the Bible said. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Verse number 3, there's one word that I want to focus in on tonight. If I could preach on a simple thought, Brother Harold, it'd simply be this. Some things you and I need to consider. Some things that you and I need to consider. Certainly we need to consider how excellent is His name. We need to consider that He's mindful of us, all those we can gather from this one simple psalm, Psalm 8. But there's some things in the Scripture specifically where that word "consider" is found. There's at least five, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. Some things that you and I ought to consider in this thing called life in which we're involved in. That word "consider" is a strong word in the Bible that carries this idea and this meaning. It means to advise yourself. It means to estimate, to contemplate, to learn thoroughly, and to note carefully. So, Brother Travis, when we see that word "consider," We've got to learn to estimate that thing. We've got to estimate what we're going to talk about, to contemplate, to advise ourselves. There are some things that you and I need to consider. Well, what should we consider? The first one is found right here in this psalm. I just read it. Look at Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens. The psalmist is, of course, communicating with the Lord. And he said, when I consider thy heavens. The psalmist realized that it wasn't his. This world is not ours, by the way. God is the one that made it all. I mean, because of Him, we live, we move, we have our being, and everything belongs to Him. And the psalmist made that statement. He said, man, when I consider, Lord, thy heavens. What'd he do? Well, he basically advised himself. He began to estimate. He began to contemplate. He began to learn thoroughly and to note carefully that the heavens that he was viewing, he didn't have anything to do with making, Brother Randy. But he acknowledged that God was the one that made them. Now think about this. To the lost man, we know that creation, Brother Travis, serves as a witness to lost people. That there is a God. Amen. It also serves to the children of God. It ought to be something that you and I can worship God about just looking at creation. The psalmist said in verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You don't have to speculate what the psalmist is talking about. He's looking up into the sky. He sees the stars. He sees the moon. He sees the creation of God. And he breaks forth in worship. And he says, verse 1, how excellent is thy name. Verse 9, how excellent is thy name. How did he come to that conclusion? If nothing else, just looking at creation, the things that God had made. And that's something you and I ought to consider. I don't think we consider it enough. There's majestic places on the face of the planet. We got several of our folks getting ready to go to Europe for 23 days. Well, glory to God. I'm glad it's y'all and not me. And you're probably going to get to see some sights over there. And there's some wonderful things in this world which God has created. But it ought to come back to this. When we see God's creation, we ought to consider. Again, we ought to advise ourselves. We ought to estimate, contemplate, learn thoroughly, and note carefully. Now, you think about this, Psalm 19 and verse 1 said this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, according to the Bible, just by creation, mankind is without excuse. Without excuse. Hey, no, well, listen to this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who's he talking about? I mean, God left himself, he didn't leave himself without a witness. The creation, you can't tell me, and again, an atheist, that is a form of religion. Whether you believe that or not, it's based on faith. What are they based it on? They believe that there's no God. They're going to find out they're wrong. All you got to do is look at creation. Just look around. Even an atheist, you can't tell me a man or woman doesn't think, even those that are lost and done without God, never even heard about Jesus. You can't tell me a person looks at the sun and the moon and the stars and doesn't contemplate and doesn't consider that there's a creator that's bigger than they are. Yeah, man. Said this morning, God, and I say it quite often, God give us something between these two ears, and it's called a brain. Reasoning is something that God wants us to do. He said in Isaiah 1, verse 8, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. We need to consider these things, and we know that creation declares the glory of God. The heavens do. And again, lost man is without excuse just by looking at creation. Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5 said, and this is in reference to God, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Did you know God has every one of the stars named? Every one of them. You say, how many are they, preacher? I ain't got a clue. Nobody else does either, by the way. They can guess and they can do the guesstimate, but only God knows how many stars there are. But he knows them all by name. Hey, I'll tell you something better than that. He knows all of us by name. That's good. Especially as a child of God. You remember there in the Gospel of John, as Lazarus has been in that tomb, and Jesus said, well, where have you laid him? And it wasn't that he didn't know where Lazarus was laid. He was omniscient. He knew all those things. But listen, he wanted them to roll that stone back, and they did. And the Bible said, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say Lazarus? Well, several reasons. He had to say Lazarus, because if he'd have said come forth, he had the power, he had the authority to raise all the dead. But singularly, he said Lazarus' name lets us know that he knew his name. I'm glad he knows my name. If you're saved by the grace of God, he knows your name too. But he knows the names of the stars. Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He called them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You see, there's a lot of things that we cannot comprehend because we got little finite minds. The Lord has an infinite. And everything about him, his understanding is infinite according to the Word of God. So we need to consider creation. And that's what the psalmist said here in verse number 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Then it breaks him into that question in verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalmist acknowledged he looked at the power of God with the sun and the moon and the stars and all that. And he said, Lord, I see all that you're making. And boy, it just blows my mind that you're mindful of little old me. That's what the psalmist is saying. We ought to consider the creation, but not only that. There's another area in the Bible that talks about us considering some things. In the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, one of those small books in the Bible. Of course, the context of Haggai is this. The people of God have come back out of Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and they started to rebuild the temple. And because of persecution, because of pressure, they stopped building. And basically what they were doing is about 15 years has elapsed. They had started the foundation of the temple, but they didn't complete it. That's where they were living in their sealed houses, the Bible said. They were living in luxury, just living it up. But the temple was lying waste. And God told them this in Haggai chapter 1, in two verses, verse number 5 and verse number 7, he said, he gave them a double call. What is a double call? He said something two times. He said in verse 5, consider your ways. Then in verse 7, he said, consider your ways. You see, in this world and in this life we have, the psalmist said in Psalm 8 and verse number 3, we ought to consider creation, but we ought to consider our choices. And that's what God was saying, consider your ways. You know what they were doing? God's people were living their own, they were doing their own thing without any concern about living for God, doing anything for God. Boy, won't that preach today in the day and hour in which we're living, man. Listen, we ought to be focused on the things of God. We ought to serve God. We ought to work for God. I understand. We got to live. We got to work. And I get all that. But boy, we better put God up here somewhere. Let's work for him. Let's serve him. One of these days, we're going to lay this old body down. Son, we're going back to the dust from which we was created, and everything will be said and done in eternity, and only the things that's done for Christ in this life is what's going to last. And we better remember that. We ought to consider our choices, but not only that, we ought to consider Calvary. Now listen, that's to the lost man and to the saved man. To the lost man that's never been saved, never been born again, you better consider Calvary. That's where your sin was judged, man, if you know Christ is Savior. And if you don't know him, that sin's still on you. But thank God it can be transferred on the Lord Jesus Christ by simply putting your faith in him. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You and I have to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we can obtain that through that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we better, that are saved, we better consider Calvary. Why do we know? Well, the Bible says this in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we're compassed about was so great a cloud of witnesses, and I believe that was a reference to chapter number 11, that great hall of faith where by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, folks overcome, they subdued and all that. I believe that's what he's talking about here in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he's talking to believers there. Many don't believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I believe he did. Again, we're not going to split hairs over that, but I believe the Apostle Paul was a pen man of the book of Hebrews with the grammar and some of the words that he used and the analogies that he used in other passages. I believe he was the one that penned that. But regardless, we know this, the Holy Spirit was the one that penned this thing down. But he's talking to believers, and he tells us we're in this race and we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lets us know that there's a specific sin that'll trip us up, that we got to lay aside. If we want to finish the race, Brother Harold, that God's called us to finish and complete, there's some sin that we're going to have to weigh down. Every weight. You think about a runner that's getting ready to run. He don't strap weights on him when he's running the race. He might do it in preparation to get ready for the race. But when the race is going on, he's going to have all the weights off of him. Anything that will impede his progress as he's running, anything that will slow him down, he's going to take those weights off. And that's the same principle in the Christian life of running this race. There's things that we've got to take those weights, those sin which does so easily beset us. We would label them those little pet sins. Those little pet sins that we want to hang around and don't want to get rid of. And what it really does, it just robs you of your joy. It robs you of finishing your full potential in the Christian life. And the Lord said, hey, if you got some of those things, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That ought to be our focal point, by the way. And we get in trouble when we get our eyes off of Jesus. Perfect example, Matthew 14. And we can criticize Peter all we want to, but he did walk on water for a little while until he saw the winds boisterous. What happened? He got his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus told him to come walk to him, and Peter took off, and he started walking. But when he got his eyes on the wind and the waves, he began to sink. He cried out unto the Lord, and that's exactly what will happen to us. As long as we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do the incredible, and we can even do the impossible. The problem is trying to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we get so easily distracted here and there and everywhere. Those little weights pull us down. Those little besetting sins that we don't get out of our life pull us down, and we can't run and we can't focus on Jesus because we focused on everything else. But watch this now. In reference to Jesus, Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Who was the joy that was set before him? I tell you, you're looking at him. And I'm looking at him as well. That was the joy that was placed in front of him when he went to the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Watch this now. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about considering. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, for consider him. That personal pronoun is a reference to who we've just been talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord said, consider him. What we ought to consider? We ought to consider Calvary. What he went through so you and I could be forgiven of our sin. You say, preacher, I've been saved 40 years. Hey, praise the Lord. You still ought to consider Calvary. Because it's called Calvary. That's why you're saved. Yeah, man. If you're a new babe in Christ, been saved a little while, you ought to thank God for Calvary. You ought to consider Calvary. If you've been saved a long time, you ought to consider Calvary. He said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, God said we could be wearied and faint in our minds. How do we become weary and faint in our minds? I'll tell you how. By not considering him. You know what will get us in trouble, Brother Brandon? When we start considering ourselves. Get the woe is me mentality, you know. Have one of those pity parties. Only two people want to show up to that, you and the devil. Hey, man, it is what it is. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Listen, I ain't minimizing anybody's thing, nothing. But we got to consider him that endured the cross that you and I could be set free from sin. And say we get our eyes off of Jesus, we get our eyes on us. That's when the sinking starts, Brother Brandon. That's when we start going down. When we make it about ourselves. Well, that's why the Lord said we better consider him. All right, so let's move on. We're to consider creation. We're to consider our choices. Consider your ways, he said in the book of Haggai. We're to consider Calvary, but we're to consider concerns. I just use that so we could stay on sea. There's some concerns we ought to consider, or we could put it this way. What about those worries? What about those anxieties? Those times of anxiousness that come into our heart and our life. Jesus said this, I hit on a little bit this morning, Matthew 6 and verse 27. Remember the word consider, because it's found in the Bible. Matthew 6 and verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? All right, so how many of you can say, you know what, I want to be an inch taller. I want to be a foot taller. None of us can do that. None of us have that power. None of us have that capability. And he said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? That's talking about clothes. Consider, there it is, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God said to consider the lilies of the field. Encouraging many of you to go down to the coast, if you hadn't already been, sometimes you go down 220 or even you get on 77. I guess the DOT started this some years ago, and they'll plant these flyers on the side of the road. Praise the Lord, our tax dollars at work. Boy, that's good. And that's neither here nor there. It's just a fact. But anyhow, you see those flowers, and somebody has sowed them, but you don't see those flowers that they're toiling and working to enhance their beauty. Why is that? Well, that's just the way God works with those lilies. Consider the lilies. If God takes care of those lilies, don't you think he's going to take care of us? We ought to consider those concerns. Sometimes, again, we worry, we fret about things. You know, it's not difficult at all. Now, just if you ain't got nothing else to get to, did you know it's not difficult at all to get discouraged? It's not hard at all. I mean, it can happen just like that. But again, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But think about this, we got to consider our concern. Consider the lilies, consider the birds of the air. God takes care of all them, and he tells us we ought to consider. So we need to consider creation. We need to consider our choices, like he told twice in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. Consider your ways. There's some choices we better consider. We consider Calvary. We better do that to stay encouraged, to look unto Jesus. We ought to consider those concerns of the lilies of the field. God takes care of them. He's going to take care of us. But you and I ought to consider other Christians. We ought to consider other believers. Now, we're looking at this word consider that we find that's attached in certain areas of the Bible. Now, back to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10, verse number 24 and 25. The Bible said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then we're more familiar with verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. That word exhorting is encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean, preacher? Well, we're to exhort and encourage others to be faithful to the Lord's house, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. But in verse number 24, he said, let us consider one another. We're to consider one another. And it says to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, oftentimes we think about provoking, we think about aggravating. Well, God doesn't want us to provoke in an aggravating way. That word provoke means to stimulate. So God doesn't want us to aggravate. He wants us to stimulate. What are we to stimulate? Unto love. And the good works, you read it again, Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 24. And we're to consider one another. That's what the Bible said. And you think about that word consider. It's a strong word. It means to advise ourselves, to estimate, to contemplate, to learn thoroughly, and to note carefully. There's some things, these five things, and there's others, but this is just a small list. Sister Savannah's coming out of Psalm 8. In verse 1, the psalmist said, how excellent is thy name. Verse 9, how excellent is thy name. And sandwiched in between there, he talks about considering. And that conversation is with the Lord. He began to look at the sun and the moon and the stars. And he began to consider creation. That's what we ought to as well. You say, preacher, I'm going through something. Did you know if you're even going through a hardship, just look around at creation. Look at what God made. That's the power that he's got. Don't tell me he can't change the situation. Don't tell me he can't help me. And don't tell me he can't help you, because he can. Because he's got the power to do what it, if it's within his will, he's capable of doing that. He can still do the impossible and the incredible, but we need to consider creation. We ought to consider our choices. You know, I wish some of our folks would, and myself included, I wish we would consider our ways, the choices that we make. The Lord said, consider your ways in Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 and said, we ought to consider our choices. We ought to consider Calvary. You know, we'd do less belly aching. Listen to me now. We'd do less belly aching and grumbling and griping if we'd keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Him, for consider Him that endured such contradiction. He said, consider Him. But see, that's the problem we have. We don't consider like we should. We consider everything else, but we ought to consider Him. We ought to consider Calvary. We ought to consider that concern. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through. Hey, son, just look at that lily in the field. Look at that bird that's flying through the air. If God takes care of them, He can take care of us. Then we ought to consider one another to provoke, not to aggravate, but to stimulate unto good works. And boy, God wants us to do that tonight. Some things you and I ought to consider as we stand all over the house.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.